Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're plunging into a fascinating and really intricate story, the origins of the Kurdish people.
Yeah, it's definitely not a simple family tree, more like a huge puzzle.
Exactly. History, anthropology, language, even genetics, they all have pieces.
And we've gathered a lot of different sources.
Our goal here is to, sift through that and pull out the most crucial, most captivating insights for you.
Right. And what makes this so compelling is you can't just look at it from one angle. Historical texts offer glimpses, yeah, but we have to remember those accounts often come from outsiders, people with their own agendas.
That's a key point. Need that critical lens.
Archaeology gives us the tangible stuff, what people left behind, physical evidence.
And language, it's evolution. That's like a hidden history, isn't it? Revealing connections.
It really is. And then genetics, well, that's a powerful tool for tracing ancestry, but it also needs careful interpretation.
Plus the land itself, the geography, and how cultural identity develops. It's all part of this complex picture.
It absolutely is.
And right from the start, it's important to, we're probably not going to find every single answer neatly tied up.
Oh, definitely not. The early direct mentions of Kurds as we think of them today, they're surprisingly few and far between.
So we have to be really thoughtful about interpreting those ancient sources.
Yeah, and there are lively debates among scholars about the name itself, who the ancestors might have been, how the language took shape.
Even what the genetic data really means. It's a discussion that's still very much alive.
It makes you think, how do we reconstruct the past when the earliest evidence is so patchy?
We have to piece things together, draw connections between fields, and be honest about the uncertainties.
It's about weighing evidence, not always finding absolute proof.
Okay, so the stage for this whole story, the Zagros and Taurus Mountains. This massive, rugged region, Kurdistan, stretches across modern Turkey, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Armenia.
It's an imposing landscape, and it's got its own distinct ecology, its own culture. Picture high peaks, deep valleys.
A place that's been both a refuge and kind of a crossroads
Right.
historically.
Absolutely. That mountainous terrain played a dual role. It offered protection, letting unique traits flourish, right? But it also made it harder to form, say, large unified states, made interaction between communities difficult.
And that geographical reality has had long-lasting
For
consequences.
sure.
So in this deep dive, we'll start with the name Kurd. Where might it come from? When do we first see it?
Okay.
Then we'll explore that mountain heartland, the geography, archaeology, the early people there.
Makes sense.
After that, we'll look at potential links to ancient groups, Gutians, Hurrians, Quraduri, Medes.
The big names.
We'll unravel the linguistic roots, explore the genetics, and then discuss the culture and that really striking religious diversity.
Yeah, that diversity is key.
And finally, we'll try to bring it all together, look at the different scholarly views.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, let's start by untangling the name Kurd. Turns out, even this basic label has a pretty complex history.
Yeah, what becomes clear straight away is there's no single easy answer. The fact there are multiple theories, none totally accepted, that highlights how murky the early picture is.
So what's one of the main theories?
Well, one idea links Kurd to the Sirtai or Kirtioi. Classical writers mention them in the Zagros back in the 2nd century BCE.
Okay, Sirti, Kurd, the sound is similar.
The sound is there, yeah,
Yeah.
and the location fits, but it's also possible Sirti was just like a general term.
Like a catch-all for various mountain tribes.
Exactly. Like calling everyone in the Alps Alpine tribesmen doesn't mean they were one ethnic group.
Okay, what else?
Then there's a suggested link to the ancient Gutians, way back 3rd to 2nd millennia BCE.
Gukians.
There's even a theory about phonetic shifts over time, Guti becoming Buti, then maybe Kurd.
But the time gap there is huge, isn't it? Millennia.
Massive gap. That's a big hurdle. Plus, Gutian kind of became a generic Mesopotamian term for anyone raiding from the Zagros.
So drawing a direct line feels pretty speculative.
Very speculative. These earlier theories often hinge on name similarities, general location. What's usually missing is hard evidence of continuous linguistic or cultural links across those vast time spans.
It's tempting to make it simple, but history's rarely neat.
Not at all.
Any other possibilities for the name?
Cordwyn has been suggested, an ancient kingdom south of Lake Van.
Okay.
And then we get to what seems like a stronger candidate, the Middle Persian word kurit.
Beret, what did that mean?
Something like nomad or tent dweller.
Ah, interesting.
After the Islamic conquests, 7th century CE, this term gets adopted into Arabic as Kurd plural Ochrid.
So initially, it might have just described a lifestyle, nomadic mountain people.
Possibly. More socioeconomic than ethnic at first. Though some scholars, like Izadi, argue it did refer to ethnic Kurds even then.
That raises that interesting question. How does a lifestyle description become an ethnic label?
It's usually gradual, isn't it? As these groups, perhaps converted to Islam, developed a shared sense of identity, the term's meaning likely shifted, from how they lived to who they were.
Okay, so what about the earliest written mentions?
We find things like Land of Karta, or Karta in Sumerian records, really early 3rd millennium BCE, associated with Kurshans.
Targans. Again, the sound.
Exactly. Yeah. And later, Akkadian texts use Kurtai for people in the Zagros and eastern Taurus. So this link between similar names and that mountain region goes way back.
What's striking is how consistently these early names point to that specific area, the highlands.
Mm-hmm. Even if they weren't precise ethnic labels yet, they were clearly tied to that environment.
Then there's Xenophon, his account of the Kardashoi in 401 BCE. That feels pretty significant.
It really does. He describes these fierce, independent warriors living in the mountains near the modern Bhutan River, right in the Kurdish heartland.
Kardashoi, Kurd, strong phonetic similarity, and they weren't under Persian control.
Right. They seem like a very plausible ancestral group. There's even speculation they spoke an old Iranian language.
Which would strengthen the connection to modern Kurds, since Kurdish is Iranian.
Absolutely. The Kardashoi fit the profile. Right location, similar name, characteristic independence. The language possibility is a key clue. And that Shoi ending is probably an Armenian plural suffix, hinting at the linguistic mix back then.
And do we see similar names later on?
Yeah, later classical sources, Polybius, Strabo, Livy, Pliny, Tacitus, Ptolemy, they mention Syrtii or Kurti, and other similar tribal names in media, parts of Anatolia.
So it reinforces that Kurd-like names were definitely present in the Zagros Taurus during classical times.
It does, but it also raises the question, were these all the same people? Or different tribes labeled similarly by outsiders? The fragmented geography probably fostered lots of distinct groups.
Makes sense. Hard for outsiders to get the nuances right.
Exactly. So it looks like the term Kurd itself evolved. Probably started as a more general exonym and outside label for mountain or nomadic tribes.
And then gradually solidified into a clearer ethnic designation, especially after the Islamic conquests in the 7th century, as these tribes converted.
That seems to be the most likely path. And some research, like Boris James's work, suggests that by the 12th century, Kurds, in written sources, does seem to refer to a more unified ethnic group.
So a long, winding road just for the name itself.
A very long road. It shows how identity forms over time.
Okay, so the name's complex. Let's turn to the land itself, the geography and archaeology of Kurdistan. This feels absolutely fundamental.
It really is. The Zagros and Taurus Mountains aren't just scenery. They've actively shaped Kurdish history and identity profoundly.
Describe the region for us.
Think vast, rugged ranges. The Zagros running through Iran and Iraq, the eastern Taurus in Turkey, high plateaus, deep valleys, foothills sloping down towards Mesopotamia, big elevation changes, harsh climate, cold winters, hot summers.
And historically, it's acted as both a barrier and a borderland.
Precisely. That geography has had a massive impact. For one, the isolation likely helped foster distinct cultural traits, language, a unique identity over millennia.
It was a refuge zone, allowing continuity even when empires rose and fell around them.
Exactly. And that isolation also favored certain lifestyles, like pastoralism, semi-nomadism, herding sheep and goats, moving seasonally transhumance. That became a defining feature.
Though modern borders have really impacted that traditional movement.
Massively. Another effect of the terrain, it encouraged tribal social structures. Agas, sheikhs leading kinship groups, makes sense for support, resource management, defense in a fragmented landscape.
And those structures have proved remarkably persistent, haven't they? Even with modernization.
They have, often adapting into modern politics. But the flip side of that local strength was, well, internal division. The difficult terrain hindered communication, contributing to dialectal and cultural differences.
And the region's strategic location made it a battleground between empires, like the Ottomans and Safavids. That led to partitions like the Treaty of Zuhab in 1639, further fragmenting the area.
Yes, and external powers often used divide and rule tactics. The geography kind of enabled that.
Now let's look at the archaeology. The human roots here go deep, don't they?
Incredibly deep. Back to the Paleolithic. Early human presence, Even Neanderthal remains found in caves like Shanidar, Besitin, Wisme.
Shanidar Cave is famous, isn't it?
Very significant. Not just the Neanderthal fossils, but later human burials and evidence of proto-Neolithic occupation around 10,600 years ago.
Proto-Neolithic. So just before farming really took off.
Exactly. And the Zagros foothills were a crucial center for the Neolithic revolution itself. Early plant cultivation, animal domestication, especially sheep and goats, around 9,000 BCE. Sites like Jarmo, Karim Shahir, Zawi Kemi Shanidar.
So this region wasn't some backwater. It was a core area for these huge developments in human history.
Right at the heart of it. Then moving into the Chalcolithic, around 6,000 BCE, we see the Halaf culture emerge.
Halaf, known for its pottery.
Beautiful painted pottery. And it seems indigenous to the Kurdish mountain zone, growing out of those earlier Neolithic communities. Later, the Ubaid culture expands in from Mesopotamia, leading to interaction, mixing.
This shows continuous habitation, local innovation, but also connection to the wider Near East.
Definitely. Then the Bronze Age arrives, and the Hurrians become dominant. From around 4300 BCE onwards, numerous city-states, kingdoms like Mitanni, Urartu, maybe links to the Gudi, Manna, Kassites.
Purians. Their influence seems widespread in the highlands. How important are they for Kurdish origins?
That's a major point of debate we'll get into. Their long presence suggests they must have played a role in shaping the cultural landscape.
Then the Iron Age. Rise of Urartu in the north likely related to the Hurrians. And crucially, the increasing presence of Iranian speakers, including the Medes.
Right. We find Median period sites like Göbekli Tepe, Nuşirhan, with monumental architecture. But definitively identifying archaeology as just Median can be tricky.
So this is a period of transition. Hurrian influence perhaps waning, Iranian speakers arriving, setting the stage for later linguistic shifts.
Exactly. Yeah. The challenge for archaeology is teasing apart those layers, connecting them to the eventual emergence of the Kurds.
So the overall archaeological picture is one of dynamic activity for millennia, a core area for farming, herding, with indigenous cultures constantly interacting. Kurdish people didn't just appear.
No. This deep history in the mountain heartland provides the essential context, the foundation upon which Kurdish identity was built.
Okay, name and land covered. Now, these ancestral echoes, the proposed links to ancient peoples, the consensus seems to be heterogeneous origins, a blend.
That's right. Not a single source, but a convergence over time. Let's start with the Goshians and Lulubi, 3rd, 2nd millennia BCE Zagros groups. Mesopotamians saw them as hostile raiders.
And there's that Gurdi Kurd phonetic idea.
Yeah, but again, the time gap, the lack of clear linguistic or cultural continuity, and Gushian becoming a generic term, it makes a direct link speculative. They were part of the ancient Zagros population, sure, but direct ancestors. Weak evidence.
Okay, what about the Hurrians? They were a much bigger, longer-lasting presence.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting. Some scholars argue the Hurrians form a fundamental substrate, an underlying layer for Kurdish culture, even if the language changed later.
How so? What's the evidence?
Well, things like surviving clan or place names that might be Hurrian, potential links in mythology, religion especially, to Yazdanism, even material culture like traditional tattoos. The idea is maybe even groups like the Gutchins or later Kurti were related to the broader Hurrian sphere.
A deep, enduring cultural influence. Mm-hmm. But the big challenge is language, right? Hurrian isn't Indo-European like Kurdish.
That's the crux of the debate. Can culture persist strongly when language shifts so dramatically? We see Hurrian Urartian influence on Armenian, but the case for a similar substantial substrate in Kurdish is much more contested. Proving those long-term survivals across a linguistic divide is tough.
So Hurrians, definitely important regionally,
yeah.
But their direct ancestral link to Kurds is debated. Now the Kurducu Xenophon's warriors, they seem like a stronger candidate.
Agreed. Location is spot on Kurdish heartland. Name similarity Kardushai Kurd is strong. Xenophon's description, fierce, independent mountaineers, not under Persian rule, fits the profile.
And the possibility they spoke an old Iranian language really boosts the connection.
It does. But it's still largely circumstantial. We don't know for sure what language they spoke or what happened to them. That Armenian plural suffix choi hints at the complex linguistic interactions, but doesn't give us certainty.
Plausible proto-Kurdish group, but not definitive ancestors of all modern Kurds.
Exactly. Then we get to the Medes. This connection comes up a lot, almost a popular theory.
Understandably. Geographical overlap in the Zagros. Median is northwest Iranian, like Kurdish. Some suggested archaeological continuity. Sounds promising.
But historians and linguists urge caution. First, the time cap, over 1,000 years between the Median era and clear mentions of Kurds as we know them. Bridging that is hard.
Okay, the temporal gap is a big issue.
Second, our knowledge of the Median language is actually quite poor, makes direct comparison with Kurdish difficult. Third, Median archaeology is scarce and debatable. Even the idea of a unified Median empire is questioned now.
So direct descent seems shaky.
Very. While the geographical and broad linguistic links are there, both NW Iranian, a direct sole line of descent lacks solid evidence. One prominent linguist, Winfer, suggested Kurdish might be fundamentally Parthian, another NW Iranian language, with a Median substratum influence, not direct descent.
Interesting. So Medes likely contributed to the mix, but aren't the single ancestor.
That seems the most reasonable view based on evidence. The idea of direct Median ancestry might be more tied to modern identity politics claiming prestigious ancient roots than firm historical fact.
Okay, these ancestral links are tangled. Let's move to language, the origins and development of Kurdish itself.
Right. Here, the picture is a bit clearer, though still complex. The scholarly consensus is strong. Kurdish is Indo-European, Indo-Iranian branch, Iranian sub-branch, Western Iranian group, and predominantly Northwestern Iranian.
Northwestern. Distinguishing it from Southwestern, like Persian.
Oh, wait.
But with influences, right?
Definitely. Due to contact, think of it less as a rigid box, more on a spectrum, close to the NWSW interface.
The big challenge. No direct written ancestors from Old or Middle Iranian times?
Exactly. Earliest Kurdish texts are only 16th century CE, so we rely on comparative reconstruction. Comparing Kurdish with other Iranian languages ancient, Avestan, Old Persian, Parthian, Middle Persian, and modern, Persian, Baluchi, Zazaki, Guarani. Plus, historical migrations and language contact complicate things.
So what are the theories on its historical development? That Median-Parthian connection again.
Well, Median is poorly attested, limiting comparison. But Winfer's idea of a Parthian base with Median influence is significant. Suggests Parthian speakers interacting with absorbing Median populations. Winfer also proposed a more Eastern origin for Kurdish, linking it to dialects in Eastern Central Iran.
What about Lace to Persian and Baluchi, McKenzie's theory?
Yes, Dean McKenzie highlighted shared phonetic developments, isoglosses, suggesting earlier close contact, possibly in central Iran. That challenged a purely NW classification, showing affinities with SW Iranian Persian too. It's still debated and refined, especially regarding Guarani influence.
Which brings us to Guarani and Zazaki, often called Kurdish dialects colloquially, but linguists see them as separate languages.
That's the dominant linguistic view. They are related NW Iranian languages, yes, and there's been long contact and influence, but they have distinct phonology and morphology compared to core Kurdish, Kurmanji, Sarani, Southern.
But influence went both ways.
Likely. McKenzie suggested some Kurmanji-Sarani differences might stem from a Guarani substrate, though others propose independent development or other contacts. There was also a proposed Zaza-Guarani group, but recent classifications tend to separate them.
Are there any fringe theories about Kurdish language origins?
There are some views, mainly outside mainstream linguistics, like Izadi's claiming Kurdish isn't Iranian Indo-Iranian at all, but represents an older regional layer, maybe linked to Hurrian. This contradicts the overwhelming comparative evidence placing Kurdish firmly within the Iranian branch.
So mainstream view. Undeniably Iranian, primarily NW, but with SW Guarani influences. Lack of early texts means reliance on comparative methods and ongoing debate.
Precisely. The NW classification is nuanced.
And modern Kurdish is a dialect continuum, Kurmanji, Sarani, Southern Kurdish.
That's right. Northern Kurdish, Kurmanji, is the largest group, mainly Turkey, Syria, North Iraq, Central Kurdish, Sarani, and Iraqi Kurdistan and Western Iran, Southern Kurdish, Exwar and Pehlavani, and Western Iran, Eastern Iraq.
And mutual intelligibility is limited, especially between Kurmanji and Sarani.
Often quite limited, yeah. Likely reflects historical fragmentation and geographical isolation. No unified state meant no single standard emerged. Separate literary standards now solidify diversity, but also help maintain the languages. Historically, people often identified more with their dialect name than Kurdish.
Okay, let's switch to genetics. What can DNA tell us about origins? Y-DNA, mtDNA, autosomal?
Genetics investigates biological ancestry, inferring movements and relationships. But, crucial point, interpret carefully alongside other evidence.
So what does Y-DNA, male line, show in Kurds.
We see several predominant haplogroups. J2 is often highest, J1 also prominent, then E1, B1B, G2A, and smaller amounts of R1B and R1A.
What would those mean?
Well, J1, J2, G2A are common across West Asia, often linked to the spread of Neolithic farming, deep roots in the region. R1A is more often associated with Indo-European migrations.
What about genetic diversity within Kurds?
Generally, substantial YSTR diversity suggests large populations, not isolated for extremely long periods. Genetically, based on Y-DNA, Kurds cluster with other West Asians, Qataris, Lebanese, Iraqi Arabs, Iranians, Turks, Azerbaijanis, closer to Caucasians than Europeans, quite distant from Central Asia.
Okay, and mtDNA, the female line?
Overwhelmingly West Eurasian ancestry, like neighbors, but some interesting specifics. High levels of very old U5 lineages linked to Paleolithic European hunter-gatherers found in Kurds, Armenians, Azeris, rare elsewhere in the Near East, maybe ancient links to Europe or back migration?
Intriguing. What else?
Also, high frequencies of H and U haplogroups associated with both Neolithic farmers and earlier hunter-gatherers suggests continuity from local hunter-gatherers adopting farming plus admixture.
Do male and female lines tell the exact same story?
Not always. One study found Kurdish Y-DNA closer to Caucasians, West Asians, but their mtDNA showed closer affinities to European groups than Caucasians. Suggests maybe different origins or migration patterns for male and female ancestors?
Different levels of diversity between subgroups, too.
Yes, some groups show lower diversity, possibly due to isolation or drift, like Georgian Kurds showing signs of a bottleneck during their migration to the Caucasus.
And autosomal DNA, the whole genome picture.
Generally confirms the West Asian clustering, and often shows, in patrilocal societies like Kurds, greater geographical patterns in male Y-DNA than female mtDNA.
So synthesizing the genetics, what's the big picture?
It points strongly to an indigenous Neolithic foundation. High prevalence of J1, J2, G2A, E1B1B, Y-DNA, and mtDNA suggests primary ancestry from the original northern fertile Crescens Agros Taurus populations, the first farmers and shepherds.
But then there's the Iranian language connection.
Right. Overlaid on that indigenous base is evidence of admixture from incoming Iranian speakers. The presence of Y-DNA, R1A, especially R1A1, provides genetic support for this arrival, likely during the Bronze Iron Age, bringing NW Iranian languages.
So a model of an indigenous population being linguistically Iranianized.
That seems likely. Incoming groups, maybe an R1A1 associated elite, brought the language. Paternal genetic input followed, but indigenous maternal lineages largely persisted.
And the Y-DNA-mtDNA discrepancies hint at complex mixing.
Yes, possibly sex-biased admixture, migrating males contributing proportionately, common in history. Could explain those differing European-Caucasian connections in male versus female lines.
So genetics paints Kurds as primarily West Asian, deep Neolithic roots in the highlands, overlaid with later Iranian-speaking groups.
Yeah.
Lines with linguistic and archaeological evidence.
Exactly. Continuity and admixture.
Okay, let's weave in culture and religion now. This seems crucial for understanding identity formation.
Absolutely. Kurdish origins are tied to cultural identity, social structures shaped by environment and interaction, and religious diversity is a key feature.
How did that cultural identity emerge? Sounds gradual.
It was social organization.
Yeah.
That tribal system we mentioned, aga, sheikhs, patrilineal kinship, crucial for social relations, resources, politics in the mountains, still influential, extended family is vital.
And folklore?
Rich oral tradition, origin legends like Kaaba the blacksmith versus Zahak link to Newroz. Newroz is a potent symbol of Kurdish identity. Plus, later, classical Kurdish poetry from the 16th, 17th centuries helped shape a shared consciousness.
And the religious landscape is a mosaic, right? Majority Sunni Muslim, but lots of diversity.
Yes, majority Sunni Shafi school since the 7th century conversions. With significant diversity, Sufi orders like Naqshbandi and Qadiri have been historically influential, often tied to leadership. Shia Islam exists too, mainly southern eastern areas, Feli Kurds, Kermanshah, smaller groups in Turkey, and recently Kurdish Islamist movements.
But the really distinctive part is the indigenous or syncretic faiths, sometimes grouped as Yazdanism.
Yes, though Yazdanism as one ancient religion is debated. But Yaziism, Yarsinism, and Alevism are often grouped as sharing potential pre-Islamic Iranian Kurdish roots, syncretized with Islam, Christianity, etc.
Tell us about Yazidism first.
Emerged in North Iraq mountains. Syncretism of local Iranian beliefs and Sufi mysticism, Sheikh Adi ibn Musafir, Lalish, 12th century, gradually integrated local traditions, distinct by mid-12th century, name origin debated. Yazid with old Iranian Yazata, divine being. Kurdish as duh, God created me, shares features with Yarsinism Elavism, maybe pointing to an old West Iranian stratum different from Zoroastrianism.
Core beliefs.
Monotheistic. Ixwide. World care entrusted to seven angels, Hafsir. Preeminent Malak Taus, peacock angel. Misidentified as Satan, leading to the devil worship label. Belief in reincarnation, Kiris Gorni. Distinct creation myth, Adam only, fostering endogamy. Emphasis on correct practice. Sacred texts, Kitaba Silamashefaresh, authenticity debated, likely reflect oral traditions. Lalish is the holiest site.
And the Kurdish connection?
Overwhelmingly Kurdish speakers, Kurmanji, culturally Kurdish, often considered the original Kurdish religion by Yazidism nationalists. Distinct identity led to centuries of persecution, recently by ISIS.
Okay.
What about Kurdish Elavism?
Part of the broader Anatolian Alevi tradition. Emerged 13th century, blending mystical Islam, Sufism, Bektashi, heterodox Shia, al-Imams, Turkic shamanism, local folk beliefs. Kizilbash were precursors. Isolation after Ottoman Safavid wars led to secretive practices, takya. Alevi became a collective term later.
Specifics of Kurdish Alevi.
Significant Kurdish minority, 20% in East Turkey, Dersim Çinçeli, speak Kurmanji Zazaki. Distinct features. More emphasis on pure Sultan Abdal than Haji Bektash, nature veneration, unique hereditary sacred lineages, OKAX, structuring authority, Reber, Pir, Murshid. Some see links to Yarsinism, Yazidism. Dersim Alevis emphasize pre-Islamic roots, Reya Heki.
Complex identity intersection.
For very religious, ethnic, linguistic, face dual discrimination, secular republic offered respite, Alevi revival since 1980s public rituals, Hashem, identity assertion, often linked to leftist politics, Kurdish nationalism.
And Yarksinism, Ali Hakakai.
Founded by Sultan Sahak, late 14th, early 15th C, Zagros, W. Iran-Iraq border, known as Kakai in Iraq, likely blend of ancient local traditions, Sufism, Gulat Shia, Ali veneration, Sultan Sahak as primary divine manifestation.
Beliefs.
One God manifesting through incarnations, Mazariyat. Soul transmigration, Dunaduni. Inner outer reality, Haftan, seven persons. Central ritual jam, music timbre, chanting, shared meals. Scripture Kalami Saranjam, mostly Gurani. Hereditary priestly class, Sayyids, guide laity, Morids.
And the Kurdish link here.
Intrinsically linked. Followers predominantly ethnic Kurds, Guran, Kalhor, etc. Gurani is the liturgical language, even for those speaking other dialects daily, centered geographically in Kurdish Iran-Iraq. Many see it as distinct pre-Islamic, not just esoteric Islam, face discrimination in Iran.
And we shouldn't forget historical Christian and Jewish communities, plus others like the Shabak.
Absolutely. This religious diversity is fundamental, suggests the Zagros allowed coexistence, resisted homogenization, shaped culture, society, politics. Understanding Kurdish origins requires acknowledging this pluralism.
Okay, synthesizing all this evidence, name, land, archaeology, ancestors, language, genetics, culture, religion. What's the prevailing scholarly view? It's clearly complex.
Absolutely. The prevailing model is heterogeneous origins. An ancient indigenous substrate in the highlands, Neolithic farmers may be linked to Halafians, Hurrians, Gushians, Karduchoy, strong genetic support for this deep layer.
Overlaid by
Iranian-speaking groups, related to Medo-Sparthians, arriving roughly late, tekkindirli first millennium BCE, linguistic and cultural assimilation of the substrate. Y-DNA R1A potentially tracks this arrival.
And single origin theories just Medes or just Hurrians are insufficient.
Generally considered so, yeah.
Yeah.
Too many gaps, contradictions, they were part of the story, but not the whole story.
So areas of consensus.
Linguistic classification as NW Iranian, deep roots in Zagros Taurus, heterogeneous origins, genetic clustering with West Asians, deep ancestry plus admixture, historical religious diversity.
And areas of ongoing debate.
Lots. Precise role of pre-Iranian substrate, especially Hurrian continuity, direct equation of Karduchoy with Proto-Kurds. Extenature of Mede's connection, that time gap. Proto-Kurdish origins migration path. Interpretation of specific genetic markers, Y-DNM, T-DNA differences. Classification relationship of Yazidism, Yarsinism, Elavism. Timeline and drivers of ethnic consolidation, likely by 12th CCE.
It really highlights the interdisciplinary nature of this quest.
It does. Contributions from linguistics, history, anthropology, genetics, religious studies are all vital. An ongoing research archaeology in Iraqi Kurdistan, genetic advances promises more insights. Definitive answers remain elusive, reflecting the region's intricate past.
So as we wrap up, the story of Kurdish origins isn't about a simple beginning. It's about historical depth, cultural fusion, resilience in a challenging landscape.
Exactly. Key takeaways. Heterogeneous origins, indigenous substrate plus Iranian overlay. The Zagros Taurus as the cradle. The language is testament to interaction, genetics corroborating deep roots and admixture, and that remarkable religious diversity.
The prevailing model. Gradual fusion of ancient Highlanders with incoming NW Iranians, resulting in a distinct people. Unique language, homeland connection, social structures, diverse culture.
Understanding Kurdish origins means appreciating a dynamic process of becoming over millennia, forged through adaptation, interaction, assimilation, resistance within their geography.
The complexities and debates aren't a lack of history, but reflect the richness and often contested nature of the Kurdish experience itself.
Well put.
And a final thought. Consider how that long history of cultural and religious interaction, sometimes conflict, continues to shape the Kurdish homeland today. And what might ongoing research reveal about the broader human story of migration, identity, and cultural exchange in the ancient Near East? Thank you for joining us for this deep dive.